Well, today's a big day, and I want to take an opportunity to share some things from God's Word. Regardless of any sort of vote or anything that's happening today, opening God's Word is one of the most important things that we can do. We always want to go back to God's Word to say, what does God have to say to us? How can we take His eternal truth and apply it to our hearts? And so I'm excited just to take a couple of minutes to open up Romans chapter 15 with you. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open there to Romans chapter 15. And whether you're using the Pew Bibles in front of you, you'll find this on page 949, or you're using an electronic Bible in your pocket, whatever you have, please open it so that you can be following along with us as we have opportunity to consider what God's Word has to say to us. The context of Romans chapter 15 connects to Romans chapter 14, obviously. The original languages, the original text of Scripture did not have either verses or chapter markings. Those were added hundreds of years later, thousands of years later in some cases. And so what we have from Paul is a letter that he is writing to a church at Rome, and he's trying to help them understand some things. So in my opinion, the beginning of Romans chapter 15 is not a great place for a transition. Really, it connects more clearly to what has already been said in chapter 14 and preceding it. And what Paul is talking about in this section is how to deal with those who have a difference of opinion as it relates to you, and how the church should handle those differences of opinion. And so he's talking about two different things in particular. Whether or not you should eat meat that has been previously sacrificed to idols, and whether or not there should be days that are set apart as holy, whether they be Sunday on the first day of the week, or whether it be the Sabbath, or whether it be holidays that are observed throughout the calendar year, Paul is wanting the people to recognize that these are questions, these are debates that are present among them, and he wants to address how they as a church can be handling those things. The reason that I'm drawing our attention to this section of Scripture today is because where we will end in Romans chapter 15, verses 1 through 7, and in verse 7 in particular, has a great deal to do with my heart and what I trust that the Lord will do in us and continue to build in us in the years and weeks and days to come. And we look forward to how he is going to be guiding us. And so you look in chapter 14, verse 1, and you read, "As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but don't quarrel over your opinions." For the one who's weak in faith, welcome them in, but don't quarrel over your opinions. Look at verse 5. "One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days as alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind." Look at verse 10. "Why do you pass judgment on your brother?" You see what Paul's getting to now. Not only is there a difference of opinion, but their differences of opinion were causing division. They were causing a sense of judgment or finger pointing or not feeling as though one particular group is as spiritual as another group because of the opinions that they held. And so we read in verse 10, "Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God." Look at verse 13. "Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother." Man, that's a great passage. That is a great verse. That's one worth underlining. If you are a scribbler in your notes, I encourage you, highlight Romans chapter 14, verse 13. "Let us not pass judgment on one another. Let us decide never to put a stumbling block or a hindrance in the way of another." And then verse 20 of chapter 14. "Do not, for the sake of food, destroy the work of God. Everything is indeed clean, but it is wrong for anyone to make another stumble by what he eats." So you see, Paul is addressing two very specific issues. He's dealing with food that's been sacrificed to idols and days of the week and whether or not they should be counted as holy. But really, we could insert any number of issues into Paul's discussion here. For the point that he wants us to see is not necessarily just those two realities that were present in the early church, but rather any types of things that we might make major when in reality they should be minor. And so we might introduce the time that a service starts as a point of discussion, the dress that you should wear when you go to that church, the music that is played when you enter that church, a Sunday school, is it important or is it not important that you're involved in that? Different versions of a Bible and which is the most prominent or which one should be the one that we use. My personal preference as it relates to lights being up in the house or lights being down in the house. What do we sing? Do we sing with our hands in the air or do we sing with our hands down by our side? Which is more reverent? Which is more praiseworthy? And different people have different opinions on these things. And what Paul is saying, I think by extension, is don't let those things cause division. It's not important enough for those kind of things to draw you apart from one another. Rather, God has done a work in unifying you. Let's not let things that are minor be the kinds of things that push us apart from one another. And so verse 20 is so important. Do not, for the sake of food, destroy the work of God. I encourage you, what is the phrase that you would put in there where Paul puts for the sake of food? Do not, for the sake of dress, destroy the work of God. Do not, for the sake of music, destroy the work of God. Do not, for the sake of my personal preference, destroy the work of God. In fact, if there was anything that I would want you to take away from the message this morning, it is this reality that all of us together would say, I will not, for the sake of my preference, destroy the work of God. Amen? Post that. Tweet that. Let people know. That's how I will not, for the sake of my preference, destroy the work of God. My preference is valid. We're going to see that. My preference is good. It's fine. But I will not. I will guard against allowing my preference to destroy what God is doing. I will not do that. And that's what Paul wants the church in Rome to see. Look, you guys have differing opinions on these things. Some of you think, oh, food is food. There's freedom in food. For crying out loud, eat it. It's good food. And others say, no, it's meat. It's meat that's been sacrificed to idols. It's contaminated in that way. It stands for something else. We shouldn't eat it. And some would go to the very extreme and say, no, we're not going to eat meat at all. We're just going to be vegetarians. Bless you, vegetarians. Bless you, gluten-frees. Bless you, meat eaters.
I saw some men. Yeah, yeah.
Bless you. I will not, for the sake of my preference, destroy the work of God. I will not, for the sake of my preference, the thing that I hold on to, I will not destroy the work of God. And so that leads us then, that passage leads us to chapter 15. And it's in that context that Paul is writing. Let me read verses 1 through 7 for you. Follow along if you would. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Amen. Let me make a couple of quick observations about this text. Number one, there are in reality strong and weak in the body of Christ. Paul acknowledges it. He says it in chapter 14. He says it in chapter 15. Notice, though, That's number one. There are. The reality is there are strong and there are weak. The second observation is that Paul does not teach that the strong must become weak, or that the weak must become strong, or that one must have influence over the other. Rather, he simply observes the reality is in your body there will be some who are weaker and some who are stronger. Now, if it was our position, if it was my position, if I was writing this, I might be tempted to say to those who are weak, you need to work really hard to become strong. What's the problem with that, though, and why does Paul not do that? The reason is because if they are a church that is doing their job, that is being salt and light in their community, that is winning others to Christ, the reality is that there will always be a front door, and people will be coming in from the position of weakness all of the time. And so Paul wants them to say, hey, if you were to be a group of people that were all of you had strength and none of you were weak, the reality is that you would not be growing at all because you'd be very insulated. And we have strong heritage. We have strength in our midst. We also have weakness. And that is not to be something that we are ashamed of. That's not to be something that we make people feel bad about. That's not to be something that we shame people over. Rather, we say to those who are weak, we love you. Come in. Come into this fellowship. Be part of us. Be among us. The reality is that if we are a living body, if we are a growing body, there will always be strong among us and there will always be weak among us. That's the reality. And so we have to be prepared to receive both the strong and the weak. The assumption that Paul is making is that this is the way that it is and that this is the way it will always be in a life-giving church. Number three. How do you then live with the reality that some among you are strong and some among you are weak? Look at verse 2. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. How do you live within the reality that some are strong and some are weak within you? You ask yourself this question: how do I operate in the best interest of other people? That is not fun to ask. How do I operate in the best interest of other people? Listen to this. You want to know what the mark of a maturing believer is? The mark of someone who is growing in their faith? Here it is. Somebody who is growing in their faith, places a high value on building up other people. That's a great marker. Of someone who is maturing in their faith does not say, here I am, here's my line, you come to me. Someone who's growing in their faith says, here, I'm going to come where you are, and I'm going to pick you up. And we're going to walk together on this journey of faith. Guess what that's called? It's called discipleship. I'm going to walk with you on this journey of faith. We're going to grow together, but I'm not going to demand that you come running to me. Rather, I'm going to go running to you. I'm going to stoop down to where you are. Isn't that the position of Jesus? That he would stoop down to where we are. Friends, Doug said it in his prayer. There is no way that we can approach the throne of God without the work of Jesus Christ coming to us. The example of Christ is that he comes to us. He gets down among us. He pulls us into himself, and then he grows us up in himself. And if we're going to be a church that is growing and is active, we don't stand back here, draw a line, and say, come to me. We go to them. We get with them in the places where it's dirty and uncomfortable, and we love them, and we say, walk with me. Walk with Jesus. Let's grow together. Why? Because when you get to a place of strength, turn around, there's going to be someone weaker behind you, and you need to go do the same thing for them. Number four, as in everything, Christ is our example. Look at verse 3. For Christ did not please himself. Oh, he could have easily. Christ could have said, I'm the standard. I mean, what do they want, God? Here we are. I'm the standard. Let them figure out a way to get to me. But Christ didn't please himself. Christ wasn't interested in his own comfort. Christ was interested in serving those who were weak. And he is our great example. Number 5 is found in verse 4. For whatever was formerly written was written for our instruction. That is, the scriptures are there to guide and encourage us toward hope. Okay? Whether you are weak or you're strong, whether you are immature or you are mature, whether you are new to the faith or you are advanced in the faith, the guiding principle is Christ is my example and the scriptures will be my guide towards hope. Because the reality is that if we look at each other, if we look to our programs or we look to the things that we're doing, ultimately they will let us down. But scriptures will always point us to our hope. And so we read in verse 4, for whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through our endurance, that is hard work, and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. The scriptures are there to guide us and to encourage us. Towards what? Towards verse 5, which is our 6th point. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another and in accord with Christ Jesus. I'm going to need 27 people to help me with a quick illustration. 27 of you are going to have to get up and come up here. So if you are in the decade of 10 years old to 20 years old, I need 3 of you right over here. If you're in your 20s, I need 3 of you right here, okay? If you're in your 30s, I need 3 of you right here. 40s, right over here, I need 3 of you, quickly. 50s, I need 3 of you to come. You know where I'm going with this. Come on, start moving. 60s, I need 3 of you up here, all right? 70s, I need 3 of you as well. Make your way. I should have started the other direction so we can get this done. All right, 80s, come on, 80s up here. 90s, if I got 3 90s, I want to see you up here, okay? 90s, come on, don't be shy. I've got 10s on that end, okay? I'd do kids if we had them in here, but we don't have kids in here. Guys, listen, figure out your age order, okay? Talk with each other, get in the right order. Start with youngest, go all the way to oldest, okay? Work with each other. You can figure this out. I know you can. Talk to your friends. All right? Work it out. You're almost there. You're almost there. Good. I don't know how many are up there. Just help them out. Help them out. There you go. Come on. Listen to this, verse 5. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in harmony. Say that with me. Harmony. Grant you to live in what? Harmony. Harmony. What is harmony? Harmony is not everybody singing the same note, is it? Harmony is everybody singing, well, I don't know. How do you describe harmony, Ben? I'm not a musician. Harmony is different people singing different notes that come together to make a beautiful sound, right? It's to form a chord. And so what Paul says here is, I want you to live in harmony with one another and in accord with Jesus Christ. Listen, verse 6, that together you may with one voice glorify God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what we've tend to have done. We've tend to say, guys, church is, you're the church of tomorrow. We really want you to stick around because you're the church of tomorrow, and we want you to have a place in this church. And we've said to this group over here, guys, thanks for your work. You're the church of yesterday, though. Thanks for doing what you've done, and we're really proud of you, and we're thankful for you. And you guys, you're kind of the strong middle. You hold us together. But Paul doesn't want us to see church like this. Now I want you to mix all up, okay? Just move quick, just mix all over the place. Just come on over here. Warren, don't leave. Come on over here. Come on over here. Okay, mix it all up. Now, listen. Redwood Chapel, going forward, can't be a church of young tomorrow people and older yesterday people. Friends, this is our church. This is our church. From every age, from every background, from all over the place, we don't say to each other, hey, hang in there. Well, you'll get your chance. Your opinion matters, but you're not quite old enough yet to have a voice. And we don't say, you know what, your voice is done. We're not interested in your voice anymore. No, this is our church. This is who God has brought to us. This is who we will be. This is how we will work together. And we will, listen to this, verse 6. You guys can make your way to your seats. Thank you. Listen to this in verse 6. Thank you, Phil. That together. Hear that word? Together. You may with one voice. Together. Us. With one voice. Glorify the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, he says, verse 7, in light of all this, because this is true, therefore, welcome one another. Why? Because Christ welcomed you. You didn't deserve it either. Therefore, welcome one another. That Greek word, welcome, it has a lot of different ways that it's used in the scripture. One way that that's used is grant one another access to your heart. Therefore, grant one another access to your heart as Christ has granted you access to his heart. For the glory of God. This is not about me. This is not about me. This is about a group of people with one voice, together, giving each other access to our hearts. Why? Because Christ gave us access to his, so that God would get the glory. Let's pray. Father, help us to see and value and appreciate and love one another. God, never let my preference get in the way of the work of God. Oh, man, rebuke me, Father, I pray. Because I know that that's the tendency of my heart. I know that I have my preferences. I know what I like. But God, don't ever let me allow my preference to get in the way of the work of God. Rather, may we, together with one voice, in a harmonious chord of praise, may we declare the goodness of our God. Father, we can talk about vision, we can talk about future, we can talk about all these things, but the reality is that Jesus Christ is our vision. You are the Lord of our hearts. God, help us to honor you for the sake of Jesus and for the glory of your name. Amen.